Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Glenn Cook, he's the executive editor and vice president of news for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Glenn Cook. He is now executive editor and vice president of news for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Sam, it's been a few years. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So I am glad to have you, and I want to talk some philosophy here.
Okay.
When you hear the phrase fake news, what does that do to you?
Well, I certainly don't think of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. It's distressing that the term has become so commonplace and that it's been, the term's been co-opted. It's been taken and applied to legitimate news organizations by anyone who wants to claim bias. You know, I mean, fake news is about fake news. It really should just mean what it says. It is about primarily digitally oriented, web-oriented content that is designed exclusively to deceive and mislead. Now it's more common for it to be used about a story that someone simply doesn't like, to be used to make accusations of bias on the part of a reporter or a journalist or an entire news organization. And it's damaging. It's damaging to journalism as a whole, and it makes it that much more challenging and important for the news industry to be fair and to be thorough and to make sure we have everything portrayed in an accurate way.
And television news, especially on cable, has not done very much to help this. And a good portion of that, and this applies to national press as well, has been money-making. The New York Times at this point in time is expanding its readership. The Washington Post is expanding its readership. The Wall Street Journal is expanding its readership. Some of them have paywalls. And then you have on cable news, CNN, which between Jeff Zucker and the president have a perfect setup to have an ongoing battle that bleeds obviously into the coverage, not just of the opinion people on the station, but the journalists themselves. The same thing with MSNBC, where in some cases you have reporters that are well respected but get caught up in this fight. Mm-hmm. And then on Fox News, you have the opinion shows that are drowning out the people like Bret Baier and Shepard Smith, who are actual journalists who are trying to do a good job. So do we in the media bear some responsibility for what's going on?
Without question we do. And I agree with you that it's the 24/7 web and cable television news cycle that really drives a lot of this, there is very little actual reporting on cable news now. It is really a talk domain and an analysis domain and a pundit domain. And the absence of news, the absence of the kind of investigative reporting that you used to see all of the old major networks undertake on a routine and frequent basis, I think it hurts their credibility to be so focused on federal politics, and to be, you know, for that to be the driver of their audience. They're missing out on a whole lot of stuff that they should be covering.
Well, and that's part of the bigger problem, which is that they're not covering what is actually the news.
Yeah.
They're covering what is clickbait for those that are online, but I bait for whatever, however you want to describe it. You know, Donald Trump makes news, so if you have nothing but 24-hour coverage of Donald Trump, you're going to have an audience, either pro or con, mm-hmm. because certainly nobody is in the middle ground.
The obvious bias of those networks, it drives the creation of more alternative sites, which themselves have bias. You know, think Breitbart. I mean, that these sites are born, were born before Trump was elected president, because of anger, frustration with people with the bias that they saw from the news sources that they had come to rely on. And so they've gone somewhere else, and they go to places where they hear what they want to hear.
So, with the exception of the Review Journal, which obviously would be your first choice, I'm sure people say to you all the time, as they say to me, okay, where do I go to get fair, balanced news coverage? What do you answer them?
My go-to source for more national news is actually the LA Times. I think the Los Angeles Times does a really good job covering California, covering the West, covering Western issues. I think their Washington coverage is more fair than what I see on a daily basis in the Washington Post and the New York Times, for example. It's not as extensive as either of those publications, but I look at the LA Times every day.
One of the things that's disappointing, I've been a New York Times reader for 40 years.
Yeah.
And what disappoints me is what used to be on the editorial page is now obviously in the reportage, and they are fair to the extent that if you're reading a lengthy story, the other side will show up in the last paragraph or two, but you sure have to wade through a lot.
Yes.
To be able to get to the other side, where the balance is.
Yeah, and the editors on our staff, they see that as well, and we make great effort, particularly in coverage of elections and politics, to make sure that the other side isn't buried. It's something that's much higher in the story, where someone's much more likely to see it. You know, we have an obligation to do that, and it's not fair if you've got a story that's, you know, 1,500 words long, and you have to get through 1,450 words to, you know, get a short statement or perspective, you know, from the other side.
You're now heading up the Newspaper Association in Nevada.
Yes.
As you look at the newspapers across the state, and especially when you read them online, it's kind of frightening how thin they are, and not just on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Well, these continue to be incredibly challenging times for the newspaper industry. All of us know our future is on the web. Obviously, we still have substantial enough print audiences to justify the publication of a print edition. But yeah, the across the state, our rural publications, the Reno-Carson City area have taken hits. The papers are thinner. There are fewer journalists, and so it's important for us as an association to advocate for the public's right to know, the public's public access to government records, for us to be able to report on the public's business and to give them information that helps people make informed choices at the ballot box and demand equitable and appropriate services from their governments. I mean, this is really you know, at least one of my focuses as president of the board this year.
One of the things, if you go back, and our older listeners and viewers will relate to this, maybe the younger ones will have to Google it, but if you watch The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, they would have Alpo commercials that were cute little bits at the beginning of the show, and they weren't really seen as commercials. Do you see advertorials, that stories that are written that are advertising and shown to be advertising, it'll say this is advertising, but that there needs to be more of that, because I find when I'm reading a newspaper online that it's just way too easy, especially on my phone, to just zip past the ads.
Well, you know, it's a difficult balance to strike in that, you know, we need the digital revenue.
Sure.
And that's one of the reasons, advertising itself, you know, has proved to not be enough on the digital side. You know, the Review Journal became a metered and subscription-based website just 2 months ago.
I subscribed. I want you to know.
Thank you. We appreciate your digital subscription.
I need Reno, your service. Yeah,
but you know, Reno Gazette Journal, a Gannett company, has had a meter on their site for years, but we still need to, you know, to get revenue from digital advertising, and these are the things that advertisers want. These work better than banners, for example, because we know that users are absolutely put off by the kind of advertising that you would see on the web. A large full-page ad in a print newspaper is acceptable. Readers are accustomed to seeing it, and for them, it's not a big deal for them to glance at it and turn the page on the print edition, but your web user hates the takeover and the banner advertisement, and so it is difficult for us to find that balance. But advertisers, you know, increasingly want to be online, and we know that that's an essential part of our industry going forward. As far as advertorials, I think as long as we're making on the news side a great effort to be clear that this is sponsored content, then then there's a place for that on our websites and in our print publications.
You know, the newspaper industry, along with television and radio station industries, really hurt themselves back in the 90s when the web was first born by not realizing what was coming and therefore giving away what was available online. So if you bought an ad, it was in addition to your regular buy, and you probably got it for free or just a couple of pennies. And they never ever did figure out, you know, how business works, which is you have a cost of a product, you need to make a profit, you put those two things together, and that's what you sell it for. And none of them, even to this day, are really doing that.
Well, you know, what has always been challenging in the digital environment is that readers now have so many choices, and there are still so many sites out there and sources of information that don't charge for their content. So we're getting to a place now where people who want the kind of news and the depth of coverage that large established news organizations provide, they now understand they're more comfortable with a subscription-based model, because there are very few large news organizations left that that give all of their content away. Now, so for the Review Journal, it's, you know, five free story views in 30 days before you hit the meter and need to subscribe if you want to view more content. As long as there are free sites out there, and if people feel like they have that alternative, then some people are going to go there, and that's what drives a lot of the sites that we were talking about previously, where these might be sites that have an agenda, these might be sites that have fake news, the fakest of fake news, but it's a challenge, and I think more and more, you know, news organizations are going to go that way, where you know, you're going to have to pay to get the content online. you know, we might see new and different pricing models and subscription models, but for now, obviously the most popular one is a monthly fee.
Right, but the most important two words, caveat emptor.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. More with Glenn Cook when we come back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Glenn Cook. He's the executive editor and vice president of news for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So how does Facebook play into all of this and Twitter as an editor?
We're hugely reliant. All news organizations are hugely reliant on social media. That we know that there is a massive audience out there of people who are on Facebook and Twitter especially, but increasingly Instagram as well, a lot. And that's where our future audience, the younger generations, are spending a lot of time as well. And that's what they use to get their information. They are driven to content from social media posts. And so, we have dedicated social media staff who run all of our social media accounts. We have multiple Twitter accounts that cater both to, our main accounts for a much broader interest. We have topic specific accounts on Twitter and Facebook related to everything from, high school sports, the Golden Knights and the Raiders, to politics and opinion, and entertainment and food, and so continuing to grow those audiences and to give them enough posts so that whenever they're on social media, they'll see something that they might want to click on. That's central to our digital strategy.
So in talk radio, we've seen a decline, especially in conservative talk radio, because there isn't a whole lot of Democratic talk radio. Mm-hmm. But we've seen a decline because the number of really qualified hosts is down to maybe less than a handful. And it seems like sports has become the new talk radio for people that don't want to listen to music in their cars, but they'd rather listen to people having a conversation. Mm-hmm. I notice over time that there's an increase online, and in the paper, of course, as well, but online especially, of sports. Is this an answer to that?
Do you mean is our social media strategy a response to sports interest?
No, just the coverage that you give to sports. I mean, sports was always a big player.
Yes.
It was always a section. And so, and woe betide anybody who suggested that you combine sports and business or anything else, because the sports fan wants that sports section.
Yes.
But it seems that sports section has elongated both online and in the paper itself. And I'm just wondering if that is a response to all the negativity about politics that has perhaps driven some of that audience away.
That's hard for me to say, but I will say that the Vegas Golden Knights is without question the biggest story in Las Vegas for 2018. That in the aftermath of the October 1 mass shooting, the success of that team and the way that this city rallied around that team was something that I've never seen, and I've been a lifelong sports fan of teams all over the place. That drove a ton of traffic to our website. We knew our readers were incredibly interested in the Knights, and the resources that we put into covering the Knights are reflective of that. This city loves that team, and so we're happy to provide readers with the content about a team that they're really interested in following. And I know for a fact that the Golden Knights have driven a lot of people who certainly weren't hockey fans, but maybe weren't even sports fans to begin with, to our sports section, to our sports page on our website to read about them. You know, that said, this city's taken a quantum leap in sports in terms of the fact that, you know, 5 years ago, you know, UNLV was really the biggest thing in town, and that was when they weren't even really that good. And we've really evolved into a major league town. A lot of people here are already interested in the Raiders, even though they won't be here for another year and a half. We've dedicated considerable resources to covering the Raiders in the National Football League ahead of their arrival.
But to go back to my original question, though,
yeah.
I mean, don't you think that this is a response to all the negativity in politics, where it's almost impossible to run a campaign about, I believe in this, this is what I'll do if I get elected, rather than he or she is the bad guy. Whereas in sports, at least you pick your team and it's fair fight.
I don't think so. I don't think in for our sports audience, I don't think that's a response to anything political. But as I said, I do know for a fact that a lot of the interest in the Knights came from the how far down this city was after that mass shooting, and what having a positive story and a team succeeding on the ice meant for people. I think in Las Vegas, the Knights were a diversion from that tragedy, not a diversion from politics or
otherwise. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. An incredible anchor for this community. Let's take a break. More with Glenn Cook when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're finishing up here with Glenn Cook. He's the executive editor and vice president of news for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So in the old days, you had letters to the editor, which were the cranky old guys. And then, you went to comments online, and that seemed to be where the cranky old guys morphed to. How big is that portion of people interacting with your stories, of the people that are just upset about everything?
You know, that's hard to quantify, but you know, we removed comments from our website, and we now leave that to the social media platforms. People comment freely on our Facebook postings. They can reply to our Twitter postings if they choose to engage in that kind of conversation. But how many of those people are cranky, I'm not sure of. But I do know that we have, you know, thousands and thousands of people who are highly engaged with all kinds of content that we produce. But we still do get letters to the editor, by the way.
Right. But I mean, it also shows the level of frustration the public has with what's going on, that they do choose to contribute, whether some of the stuff makes sense or not. They still choose to contribute. And personally, I appreciate all of it. And I appreciate you being here. Thank you. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Thanks, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge or watch us on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.